Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is a frequently quoted passage from Matthew chapter 6. Of course, in context, all these things refer to our practical and physical needs, and the promise is very clear. If we are occupied by seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness, we need not be consumed with praying for our own needs. But what is it to seek the kingdom and God's righteousness? Stay with us for the answer on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. And Ron, thank you for being with us as we once again look at the incense altar, this magnificent and very deep thing in the tabernacle. Well, we've been seeing in the last few programs, Ron, that the incense altar in the holy place of the tabernacle was a small altar upon which the high priest burnt incense to God. And it was located directly in front of the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Testimony. This altar typifies Christ interceding for us. With that has been the clear message. How do we see this connection from Scripture?
To see the connection requires the genuine illumination of the Spirit through the Word. If the tabernacle itself and so many other aspects of the tabernacle are types of Christ, then we have definitely the ground to assume that the golden incense altar must be a picture of Christ in some way. And as we examine the matter of the acacia wood and the gold, and we see this is divinity and humanity, surely pointing to the person of Christ. And the burning of the incense, again, with some study of the Word and considering our experience, we take to be a symbol of prayer. So we have a golden altar, which we believe portrays Christ in His person as the God-man, and the incense offered on this altar signifying prayer, then we have a picture of a wonderful person praying. Then as we turn to the New Testament, especially in those portions which speak of Christ in His heavenly ministry, we read that He lives always to make intercession for us. Christ is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. So as we ponder the picture in Exodus, and as we study the New Testament revelation, we can then see a connection emerging. Actually, we are not making the connection. We are recognizing the connection that is inherent in the Word. But in order to see it, we need to really pray, and we need to have some growth in life and some experience of Christ. So for me, personally, I feel altogether at peace and confident in what we are presenting concerning the golden incense altar as a type of Christ interceding for us, a type of Christ as the intercessor, taking care of our situation before God, and especially carrying out God's administration through His intercession.
Well, the striking feature of the prayer that's typified at the golden incense altar, we've seen in earlier programs this week, is not common. It's not ordinary prayer. It's not the kind of prayer that we're so often engaged with that is really focused on our personal needs or those of our close friends or family members. This is another type of prayer. And as it's being unveiled in these programs, is marvelous, and it's something that strikes a very deep but profound chord, I think, in the hearts of all genuine seekers when they hear such a speaking. It's really an honor to be able to handle this portion with you, Ron. I hope that the Lord will bless our time together today. Let's join Witness Lee.
So many Christians know how to quote Matthew 6 that says, seek after His kingdom and after His righteousness, whatever you need, clothing, eating, and so forth will be added to you. And this means you don't need to pray for your clothing, to pray for your eating. This will be added to you. You pray for what? You pray for His kingdom.
Amen.
And what is His kingdom today? The church.
Amen.
And what is the church? Christ.
Amen.
The church is Christ.
Amen.
You seek after His kingdom, eventually that's the church, and that's Christ. And you seek after His righteousness, what is His righteousness? Christ.
Amen.
Expressed through the church. So, to seek after His kingdom and His righteousness is just to pray. Christ and the church. The strange thing to many of us today is this. We know how to pray for a good car, a better job, a bigger house, for airplane, for this, for that, for a lot of things. We don't know how to pray for the church. When we pray for the church, actually, we don't pray for the church. We pray for those business related to the church. Forget all that. Read this portion of the word.
Amen.
Burn the incense.
Amen.
Upon the altar.
Amen.
Don't burn strange incense.
Yes.
There is a kind of prohibition.
Yes.
Only one thing is acceptable. Don't burn strange incense. Don't burn. Even the things acceptable to God at the offering altar. Here, you must burn the incense. Not the judged Christ, but resurrected Christ.
Amen.
The ascended Christ.
Amen.
The living Christ.
Amen.
You have to pray such a Christ to God. You may say, brother, please tell us what to pray. I won't tell you. Even I would. And you would pray accordingly. That's not Christ.
That's right.
You may use the right terminologies, but you pray in Iceland. You pray in Russia. You do not pray here in the center of God's dwelling. You do not pray in God. While you be praying, you're still hungry. You don't have the inner satisfaction. You don't have the inner energizing. No God in you praying. You see the point? You need to pray in God.
Amen.
And you need to pray with God in you.
Wow.
Energizing you. Then you offer Christ to God. You pray Christ to God.
Ron, I think that most believers are used to be encouraged to pray more. But what we're getting into today goes beyond just an encouragement or an exhortation for us to pray more often. We really are seeing that what we pray and how we pray is maybe even more critical. What does it mean to pray in God? We heard this phrase, and also to offer Christ to God as we pray.
Again, let's consider the picture of the tabernacle, which is a type of not only Christ personally, but Christ enlarged, the corporate Christ, as the church. But as a type of Christ, the tabernacle points to God incarnated to become enterable. So just as the priests could enter into the tabernacle, we can, and it's normal to do so, we can enter into God in our spiritual experience. Otherwise, how can we experience the Lord's words, "Abide in me"? How can we abide in Him if we're not already in Him? But in simple terms, the tabernacle shows that God in Christ is enterable. So to pray in God means that based upon the redemption of Christ and the regeneration of our human spirit and the consequent life relationship with God and applying Christ as our way to the Father, in Christ, through the Spirit, we can be in God. And it makes a great difference in our prayer life if we are praying in God or if we're just praying in ourselves or in our situation. Then to pray, to offer Christ to God as we pray, I think it's sufficient to point out that the Lord charged us to pray in His name. Really, there's only one person whose prayers are acceptable to God. So we need to pray not in our own name. We need to pray in the Lord's name. We need to be one spirit with Him. We need to be experientially in the organic union with Him. Then His prayer becomes our prayer, and our prayer becomes the expression of His prayer. So Christ is praying through us to God. So our prayer becomes, again, the release and expression of the praying Christ. This is a real and profound, yet very practical matter related to the life of intercession.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee, Ron.
If you would stay with me for 10 days, you will find out I'm a person all the day so sad. Look at the people around you. What are they doing? What do they know? Pitiful. It's pitiful. The Lord has been delayed for 2,000 years. Of course, to him, just 2 days. To me, it's too long. To him, it's too short. To me, quarter century is too long. To him, 250 years, just 6 hours. And Peter, even with this brother Peter, whom we saw so simple, actually he's not simple. My goodness, he skipped over the 1,000. Skipped over millennium. With him, when the Lord comes back right away, the new heaven, new earth. He wouldn't care for the 1,000 years. Just one day. It is in this chapter that Peter says, brother, to the Lord, 1,000 is a day. So I like to skip over the millennium. That's one day. That doesn't mean much to the Lord. But to us, it means a lot. I have only lived a little over 3/4 a century. Maya, to me, it's too long. Too long. But to the Lord, the Lord would say, what is 100 years? 100 years is a little over 2 hours. Look at the situation. What is here? Full of delaying.
Amen.
Delay. Who is praying to turn, to motivate the throne of grace?
Wow.
That God would dispense.
Amen.
His grace. And who is now motivating God's throne of authority? That God would judge this age. And Christ has a lot of incense. But where are the prayers that are qualified to receive the incense of Christ? Would Christ add His incense to your prayer?
Ron, this section touches a point that I think is often on the minds of Christians, and that is, how long will it be until the Lord comes back? How long will the Lord wait until He comes back? And we enter in or engage in a lot of idle speculation, I think, probably, as to why we think or someone might think the wait has already been 2,000 years. But we just heard that our prayers can even have an effect. But the kind of prayers that can have an impact on the Lord's move on the earth must be prayers that are qualified to receive the incense of Christ. What does this phrase mean, Ron, for Christ to add His incense to our prayers?
Let's approach it this way, okay? Let's first consider what the incense is. And then let's consider what kind of prayers merit the addition of this incense. At both altars, the altar in the outer court, the bronze altar, and at the golden incense altar, there was a fragrance ascending to God. The fragrance ascending in the outer court is related to Christ who bore our judgment before God. That is the fragrance of Christ crucified. The fragrance of the incense signifies Christ in resurrection and ascension as the one who is acceptable to God and as our acceptance to God. So that's the incense. According to Revelation 8, our prayers are signified by the golden bowls. And Christ, who is there as another angel, functioning as the high priest, adds incense to these prayers. Then there is a very definite reaction from the administrating throne of God. The point here is that human beings can pray in all kinds of ways. And on the one hand, God is very merciful to hear our prayers. But so many prayers are oblivious to God's economy, to God's administration. So many of our prayers may be natural, or they're narrow, or they're focused on ourselves. Do you think if someone would pray for a nice house on the California coast, that's the kind of prayer that Christ will add himself as incense to? Whether or not God answers that kind of prayer, that's up to him. But there is a certain kind of prayer, a prayer that is related to God's economy, to the desire of God's heart, to God's kingdom, to God's interests, to God's move on the earth, to the genuine need and welfare of God's saints. When we get out of ourselves and forget about ourselves and pray on behalf of God and Christ and the church and the kingdom and the believers, then we can offer prayers that are pleasing to God because they are related to his heart's desire. Then Christ will add himself in his resurrection and ascension to those prayers to make them fully acceptable to God for the carrying out of his administration.
Ooh, we really just touched the heart of intercessory prayer right there, don't we, Ron?
We're in it right now, Chris.
Well, we've seen before, you just alluded to the fact, I want to point this out as a bit of a preface to the final section we're going to hear from Witness Lee today, and that is that the tabernacle had two altars. In this portion, we're going to see the link or the connection between these two altars. Let's join Witness Lee.
According to the Bible, these two altars, the incense altar and the offering altar, are connected. And there are some connecting elements. Number one, the first thing that connects the two altars together is the blood of the sin offering, of the propitiation, or of the atonement. Not only so, you could see no fire is allowed to be on the incense altar to burn the incense. No. It must be the fire on the altar of the burnt offering which came down from the heavens. And that fire is not the strange fire. It was the heavenly fire. The fire from God to burn the burnt offerings with the same kind of fire to burn the incense on the incense altar. And this is the linking fire that links these two altars together. Amen. Not only so, certainly from this altar of the burnt offering, the sweet savor ascend to God. On this altar of the incense, also the sweet savor ascending to God from the burning. This is all the sweetness of Christ. Amen. In his death. Amen. And the sweetness of Christ in his resurrection and ascension for our acceptance. So these two altars are linked together as what? Because of this, Psalm 84, 3 says, "My Lord, my King, my God, in your dwelling place, your altars are home to the sparrow, are a nest to the swallow who lays her young. But have you ever read Psalm 84?
Amen.
It's a sweet song.
Amen.
It's with a sweet appreciation
Amen.
Of God's dwelling place, especially with the two altars. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what are the two altars? Christ dead and Christ interceding. The Lord have mercy upon us
Amen.
That we may learn to see the proper, the real prayer life is one in God.
Amen.
And it's one with God in us. It's also one with the resurrected and ascended Christ as our incense to God.
Amen.
And this prayer life is altogether linked with the crucified Christ
Amen.
By his blood and by the fire and by the sweet Savior. So we can live such a life
Amen.
That motivates God's move. In other words, this kind of life governs
Amen.
The universe. It governs God's dispensation of grace. It governs God's administration of his authority. So it governs the universe. It is not a small thing.
Ron, these two altars are connected in two marvelous ways, two marvelous aspects. The blood of the offering and the fire of the altar of offering were both associated with the incense altar. Would you explain these two aspects for us and how they apply to our own experience of Christ at the incense altar?
The bronze altar in the outer court is a type of the cross of Christ and points us to Christ crucified for our judicial redemption. The golden incense altar is a type of Christ interceding in his heavenly ministry in his ascension. These two altars are connected by the blood and by the fire. The blood was shed for our redemption at the bronze altar on the cross of Christ. Then this blood was applied to the incense altar, indicating we need the redeeming blood of Christ Jesus, our sin offering, in order to qualify us to even touch this matter of intercession. But the blood of Jesus opens the way for us to pray. Then we have fire. The fire came down from God and consumed the offerings on the bronze altar. That's a holy fire, a heavenly fire. The incense that was burned at the golden incense altar needed fire for its burning. The crucial question is, what kind of fire? According to the principle, even the commandment of God in his word, the fire on the incense altar must be the same fire that burns on the bronze altar. This is very practical in our experience, as may come out in the future, and that is, it does take a certain amount of energy, inspiration to pray, so we need fire, a motivating fire. It's crucial that this fire be from the Spirit of God, that it be a holy fire, a divine fire, a heavenly fire, not something generated by our natural enthusiasm. So we need the blood to open the way, and we need the fire, the Spirit, to be our energizing power to pray effectively intercessory prayers for God's interests.
Well, Ron, good radio always terminates where you've whetted someone's appetite and encouraged them to come back tomorrow to hear more. I hope that this has had the effect. Your last portion here on this divine fire is really the subject of where we're going to be tomorrow so that we can unveil this even more. We want to invite our listeners to come back and join us for that, and I want to invite you to come back and join us again anytime you're available.
Glad to accept the invitation.
Amen. And please do join us again for Ron Kangas today. I'm Chris Wild. Thank you very much for listening.